Sunday, the Holy Spirit. Sermon for the 11th Sunday after Trinity is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. That's for the text. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One came down justified, and the other condemned. This parable was spoken to some who trusted in themselves. They thought themselves to be righteous. They despised others. This parable is a warning. Two go up, only one comes down, justified. The other one is damned. There are ironies at work here because God's ways are not your ways. Those who would find mercy must despise themselves. Mercy is only given to those who don't deserve it. That's what mercy is. Only criminals get pardoned. The mistake of the Pharisee was in thinking that he was disqualified for mercy, in thinking that he didn't need it, even though he credited God with making him so good. He mistakenly viewed the blessings he enjoyed, including the blessing of having been spared the worst and most destructive vices of men. He believed that God had blessed him, that God had even made him wise and generous enough to tithe from all that he had. But those blessings were not faith. Thus they became curses and tools of Satan. For they deceived the Pharisee into thinking that he had favor with God and that his works were good enough. No man except the Lord Jesus Christ is righteous in himself. We are all unrighteous. You all sin. Even your good works are tainted. You've never done anything with absolutely pure motives. For you've always wanted to be noticed, to be honored, to be recognized. Your sinful flesh always brings you to desire credit. But that is not the worst of it. It's not simply that when you've done good things, you've had some less than perfect motives. You've sinned. You have lied. You've cheated. You've stolen. You've wasted. You've been negligent. You've lusted. You've been angry. You've murdered in your mind. You've gossiped. You've desired or coveted a majority of what others have. Is there anyone here who denies this? Is there anyone here who rolls their eyes as if God dare to call you out? Sins are no stranger to you. You sin in your minds and hearts at an alarming rate, but you also excuse them almost instantly. You either say, oh, well, there's nothing wrong with these tiny little sinful thoughts, words, or deeds, or you say, I'm only human. By the grace of God, repent. Humans are supposed to keep God's law. Sin destroys faith. Sins destroy families. Sins destroy countries. You endanger everything you love, everything that is working out for your good in life by sin. Stop thinking that you're that good. Your only good, your only righteousness comes to you through the cross of Christ crucified. It is received by faith alone. By the grace of God, be repenting and believing. Pray the true sinner's prayer. Not some prayer that has you looking to yourself or your commitment to God or your decision for Jesus. The tax collector displays the contriteness, the brokenness, and the emptiness of self that is well-pleasing to God. He displays faith when he cries out, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. By the grace of God, trust not in yourselves or in your wits or in your family or in your fortune nor in the nostalgia of your church. Trust in Christ. He is righteous. He has kept the law. He is merciful. And his mercy endures forever. You have no right to it. You cannot earn it or buy it. And you cannot make it or think that you can improve upon it or help it along. But he gives it as gift out of grace because he loves you. Here is a great irony of Christianity. Those who believe and have been baptized, those named by him, those who belong to him, such as you and the believing tax collector, they are brought to be aware of their sin. In Christ, their sins are redeemed for and paid for. And these believing, baptized sinners are justified by God created faith. But they still bear their sin. It hurts. It is shameful and awkward. That is why you struggle. You do what you do not want to do, and yet you say at the same time, Amen to God's law. You confess that you are a sinner. But those who are not in Christ, but remain in their sin, those who embrace it and seek to justify themselves like the Pharisee, like most throughout the world, they are satisfied and comfortable in their sin. The devil doesn't bother with them because he doesn't have to. That is how it is in the kingdom of God. It is a kingdom of reversals and irony. God became man. The one who is life had to die. He who knew no sin became sin. The instrument of torturous execution made from dead wooden limbs. Christ's body and blood turned it into a tree of life. The king of kings of this world and sent their soldiers off to struggle, only to enrich themselves and their territories. But the King of Kings gives up his life to enrich the very rebels and traitors who spoke against and killed him. This ever-loving shepherd looks at a pool of water teeming with man-eating piranhas. In Mystery of All Mysteries, he loves those tiny, slimy, scaly, teethy little monsters. He loves you. He lies down in the pool. He gives his life to and for them. He allows them to destroy him and gives his flesh as the very payment for their crime. That glorious death is intended to make the piranhas into lambs. They do the greatest evil to him. They murder him and take his life. And in exchange, he gives it to them for free, as a gift. He does good because he is good, the only good. He does good for their evil and exchanges his life for theirs. This almighty God, this merciful, long-suffering lover of mankind, as he did in the beginning of it all, makes something out of nothing. But this happens through reversal, through grace alone. For it is only the blind that are given sight, the sick, healing, sinners, mercy, and the dead, life. It is only the believing and repentant who are forgiven. It is only believing sinners who become saints, and they go to their homes justified. This parable was spoken to some who trusted in themselves, those who held that they were righteous and despised others. Beware. You've heard this parable so many times that you might be tempted to despise the Pharisee, to think, oh, he's so arrogant, he's so self-righteous, what a fool. And guess what? In despising him, you've just become the Pharisee's Pharisee. Our Lord died for him also. You have committed the sin of the Pharisee. You have despised others just as Cain despised Abel. You have killed your brothers with your hateful thoughts, your hurtful words, and your immense lack of care for your neighbor. Are you your brother's keeper? Yes, you are. But your sinful flesh would have you look instead to your pedigree, to your piety, to your financial statements for security. By the grace of God, in repenting and believing, be emptied of your pride and call upon the Lord for mercy. The kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are not ashamed to keep company with the tax collectors and Pharisees, to those who are brought to know and confess that they have committed hypocrisy, and they, God, to those who are brought to despise themselves and are brought to love God. Be drawn near, O Savior. grace of God, being drawn near, repenting, and believing, and feast upon Christ the Lamb, and become his Lamb. In the evening, be drawn near like a tax collector with your pain, your fear, your worries, your shame, your loneliness, your failures, and your disgrace. Be drawn near to where God promises to be, to where he extends his mercy, where he gives himself for you and to you. By the grace of God, he will bring you to be what you are.